And now our main segment this morning, the Plaza Art Fair, now in its 82nd year. With me now is Gail Terry. She's the marketing director for the Country Club Plaza. And Gail, so good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
I'm not going to call you Terry.
Okay, that's a deal.
We've been down that road before, haven't we?
And I have totally forgiven you.
Yes, for listeners who may not remember, I refer to Gail Terry as Terry Gail throughout an entire segment once about 10 years ago, and it was a difficult moment here for a talk show host. Okay. You know, Gail, you have 240 artists lined up for this year's art fair, 25 restaurants, 3 live music stages, a kids' art workshop. Let me just guess here, you're going to take your long vacation for the year after the art fair concludes, right?
Yes, we do have that planned. We'll wrap it up on Monday and then take it a little slowly next week.
Yeah, when does the planning process for an art fair begin? How long has this thing been in the works, the 82nd annual Plaza Art Fair?
It's year-round. Kara Lowe, our event director, starts soliciting artists early spring. They judge in May. They let folks know they're in June. And then working with the sponsors, you know, is a year-round thing. And obviously the last couple months, you really gear up, and it's all art fair all the time.
Boy, it's got to be kind of exhausting.
It is, but it is such a great weekend. And I think everyone is so proud and excited to be a part of it that you really look forward to it. And it's and when it's 5 o'clock on Friday and everyone shows up, it's all worth it.
Huh. How many folks, Gail, are actually involved in the planning process for any one art fair?
It's a significant number. We have our immediate staff, but then I would say between 25 restaurants, the artists, I would say we have a dozen vendors that probably have a few hundred people collectively. When we close the streets at Thursday at 10 o'clock, I mean, it probably takes 500 people to turn that event around and get it open.
Hmm. So literally dozens of people are planning this thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. What are some of the big decisions you have to make each year? I mean, I know that folks sort of count on the art fair to sort of have a semblance of sameness from year to year. But what are some of the big calls you have to make every year?
I think that's a good question. I think Kansas City and our visitors, they love finding people they've seen before,
yeah,
but they also want that new offering,
yes,
of fresh artists. And nicely and organically, that kind of happens through our 4-person jury panel we put together. It's always 2 exhibiting artists and then 2 people in the art arena, but not an exhibiting artist. So every year it's fresh eyes selecting the work, and it just always puts together a really sharp show. And then I think we can also kind of keep it new. We've added some stages. We add new bands. We work with Ink, and they bring us kind of the new, wonderful bands in Kansas City. And we,
yeah,
celebrate them all weekend and keep the kids' projects fun. Kemper and Kansas City Art Institute do that for us. So I think we have that nice blend of delivering on what you want and surprising you with a few things.
You know, of the 240 artists, just roughly how many of them are first-timers this time around? Do you have any idea?
That's a good question. My guess would be 20% at least.
Oh, really?
Have
that high?
Never,
wow,
done the show. And then a few of them kind of will come and go. And then we have this block of artists that love the show and their work is strong. And they tend to just every year get in the show. So it's a nice blend. You've got,
mm-hmm,
people just starting out in this industry, and then you have some folks that are veterans and have done this show 20 more or so years.
Yeah. Well, I've got to ask, big storms last night. The power at the Kraske household still out, as we sit here and talk. Yes. I'm just wondering, what does a storm like that do to the setup for an art fair that begins today?
We made some adjustments. A lot of our vendors are hardcore, and they just kept going all seasons and the stages and all that good stuff. We chalk all the artist spaces for them, and obviously we waited till about 6 a.m. this morning to do that so the artists know where to go. But other than that, I think everyone felt that we don't like the rain. It makes it a little harder. But the payoff of the weather that is coming our way for this weekend, we will all take it.
It's supposed to be pretty good.
I think we're really going to get lucky.
So the weather really didn't slow you down at all, it doesn't sound
like.
Not
too much, because it's such a tight timeline. You really can't change much. And we've done this so many times. You know your plan A and you know your plan B. And you know that they both will get you rolling for the Friday morning craziness. So we're all good.
So you actually go down the streets of the plaza and chalk out, okay, Charlie Podaberek is going to be here. Mike Savage is going to be over here. And everybody knows.
We do. It's kind of a fun little science. They have their space. We tell them you've got 12 feet by 12 feet. We give them power. And then they take it from there. And I think that surprises people. You know, they bring their canopy, they bring their work, they bring all their display. I mean, it is hard work. Those artists, when they show up, they've got a very full day ahead of them. And then they've got a Friday night to be fresh and talk about their work and meet the public. But it's they're really great at it. Friday at our show, I think, is kind of known in the industry as being one of the hardest, longest, but funnest days of an art fair.
Longest, hardest because?
Because I think sometimes not all the time do you set up the same day you start to exhibit. Going till 10 on a Friday is longer than some shows. But almost every artist will say this is a very fun night. And Kansas City shows up and they're excited to be here and they're excited to talk to us. We always hear that we have the kindest and most knowledgeable people at our fair. They ask good questions. They make good eye contact. They're seriously interested in what you're doing.
Oh, that's interesting.
I hear that every year, and it makes us really, really
that's
thrilled.
Good to hear, isn't it?
It is.
About
it's
the
fun.
Old hometown. Yeah. We're visiting with Gail Terry. She's the marketing director for the Country Club Plaza. Now, you know, I mentioned a lot of folks probably don't want a lot of change in the art fair from year to year, but what is different about the art fair this year? You mentioned 20% of the artists are going to be new this year. What else is going on that's new this time?
Well, I think everyone should very much take some time and make sure you visit all three of the stages because we've got some really great music acts coming. I think you should for sure see the five blocks of artists. The Art Institute's doing a fun interactive project for kids this year where it's a collaborative string project and another fun project kids can take home.
What does that mean, a collaborative string project?
Well, as they spend time there, they'll all be participating on this group project that at the end of the weekend will be complete. And it will take everybody's participation to get it there. And I think that's kind of
fun. It's going to be a lot of string, it sounds like.
Yeah, a lot of string.
Yeah.
and then something else that I think is really neat about this show is we have such great performing arts and visual arts in Kansas City, and it's this weekend to celebrate them. I think we have almost 30 groups, the ballet, the symphony, who will be down there telling you what they're up to, giving you fun little giveaways, talking about their fall seasons. And you just can't not walk through and think, this is a great city, and we've got a lot of good things going on.
And you know what? I'm going to be down there, too. I should point out that KCUR and KCPT are going to be in the Experience Arts KC section of the Plaza Art Fair. You can come by tomorrow between 1 and 2 to see me, in addition to a whole lot of other KCUR folks who will be down there this weekend. More information about that at kcur.org. So I'll be there.
I love it.
People
I'll
can
look
come
for
see
you.
Me. You should look for me. Yeah. I got to ask, police used some pepper spray last week on kids who had gathered over on the east side of the plaza last weekend. How big a concern is that heading into this year's art fair, and what arrangements are being made to deal with all that?
Well, we are certainly aware of that incident, and we always take security seriously on the plaza year round, but we are planning for and expecting another wonderful art fair like we always do. So we work closely with the police and security, and it's going to be a beautiful weekend like it always is on the plaza.
I got to ask this too, Gail. You know, how is the attitude of plaza businesses towards the art fair? I mean, do they welcome this thing because of the big crowds the art fair draws, or do they sort of dread it because, you know, most folks who come to the plaza this weekend are coming to look at art and maybe not really to shop?
You know, I think it's a mixed reaction, but what I do know is there is something good in it for everyone. Sometimes it's a great sales weekend. Sometimes it's a great traffic weekend. But what everyone on the plaza loves is just this change in rhythm. It's a wonderful celebration.
Yeah. Yeah.
Getting that many people on our district and having a good time. It's one of our favorite weekends of the year on the plaza. And merchants enjoy it and they celebrate it. And I think everyone welcomes it.
How many people are going to show up this weekend? Do you have any way of counting how many bodies you're going to jam into the plaza this weekend?
Yeah, we do, and it's not at all scientific, but our guess is
you don't
we
go around and count.
We don't, and we do our best. And it's funny, I feel like every Friday night, every year, we think, I think this is the biggest crowd we've ever had. It just always feels so fun. But we estimate 200, 250,000 people come through in 3 days, and we kind of look at our garages and how often they turn over and how far in the perimeter are people parking. And all I know is it's thousands and thousands, and it's local and it's out of town. And that's one of my favorite parts of the fair is just everyone running into people they know and catching up. And
there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah, welcoming fall. And it just feels like one of my, you know, one of the favorite weekends in town.
Let me ask you about some history here, Gail. How did the Plaza Art Fair begin way back in 1932? What do we know about that first art fair 81 years ago, whatever it is?
Yeah. Sure. It was a very casual kind of spontaneous gathering. I think it was Depression time, and the district was trying to create some good spirit. They were trying to create some traffic building opportunities. And within 2 years, they started the lights, and then 2 years later, they started having artists come down. And I think it's pretty exceptional that here we are 80-some years later, and both of those things exist.
Are still here, yeah.
And they are just beloved. And it's fun to look at old photos, and you see artists, and it was just, here's an artist, here's a bench, here's a painting propped up on the bench, and that was it. But I think they had so much fun chatting with each other and chatting with the public, and it felt, this is a good idea. Let's keep this going.
You know, there were some photographs on your website, I think, mm-hmm. and I was looking at some of those. It looks like it was right on, what street was that? Was it Ward Parkway right there?
Yeah, it kind of started where Tiffany & Company is now,
right
there, kind of central Ward Parkway and Nichols. And it has popped around. It moved over by Cheesecake Factory for a while. We used to just kind of own Nichols Road up and down. And then about 15 years ago is when we started to kind of incorporate the creek after it was redone in such a beautiful property. And that's where we've been for about the past 15 years. And that opened up the Warnell Bridge, which is the perfect music stage. And so it has changed considerably, but it's kind of had this footprint for a while.
I mean, why limit it to 240 artists? I mean, what stops you from doing 340 or 440? What's the magic of 240?
It's a good question. And I think the answer is kind of twofold. It's a little bit just our footprint, how much space we want to take.
Yeah.
And then I think it's also just we want our artists to have a really good show, and we want them to get good traffic. We want them to have people that have time to get around to them. And I think there's a little bit of a tipping point where if you get too many, you maybe water down the crowd for them, and they love it, and they are the cornerstone of this event's success. So we kind of like to keep it to be a very manageable number so everyone has a good weekend.
You know, you sort of wonder what the original organizers of the art fair there would think today if they could sort of stumble, you know, on back in time and look at what this thing has become, because they would be amazed.
I think so. I think they would probably be very surprised. I would hope they'd be very proud to see that the plaza continues to hold this up as a point of pride and gets behind it every year.
Huh. How are the artists picked? Walk us through that process of the juries and all this stuff that helps determine who's going to be down there.
Sure. It's a very interesting process. It's all digital now, as you can imagine. They send in 5 images. 4 of them are of their work. The 5th one is how they display their work. And then we have 4 judges come in. It takes a couple days, and they're in a room just looking at entry after entry. It's around 1,400 people applied. And they judge them, and it's electronically kind of tabulated and keeps you on track. And then you look at where the numbers are falling. And we always have a few artists that come back every year because they were award winners. So generally, maybe you know you've got 20 people, so you're trying to fill 220 more.
Yeah.
And we like the categories to be equitable as far as painting and ceramics, but we also kind of let every year's panel kind of set that tone. And you can sometimes see it. It will feel more contemporary, or it will feel more two-dimensional or three-dimensional. But we come up with our number, and then we let them know that they're in the show, and then we start placing their booths. And it's an honor. People get very excited to know they're in the show, to know they can count on that September event. And it's way different than it used to be when you had thousands and thousands of slides you were dropping in carousels.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty smooth and sophisticated operation.
I want to bring 2 of the artists who are going to be down there this weekend. Chris Dahlquist works in photographic mixed media and makes a living working the art fair circuit. Chris, welcome. Nice to have you.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
And Lynn Whipple is also here. She paints and works in mixed media as well. Lynn, how are you?
Fantastic.
You guys know about the jury process. You've both served on juries. Tell us a little bit about that. Chris, start with you.
Well, it's a real honor both to do the show and a special honor to be asked to be on the jury. It is, you know, as much time as we spend at the art fairs, it's one of the only times that we actually get to see everyone's work and interact with. We're so busy working our own booths, we don't always get the opportunity to see everyone else.
I bet you want to get around, too, a little bit,
yeah,
don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the best part.
So how do you go about the process of actually deciding who's going to be presenting and who's not going to be?
Well, it's as you can imagine, with how many artists apply, it's a pretty quick process. And so in terms of how long you get to see each artist work. So a lot of it's a real gut reaction, how you respond to the work when mm-hmm. when the slides first come up for you to see them.
And what kind of how many are you picking from? I mean, how difficult is it to get in?
I think I don't. Gail can probably tell you the number more closely than I can, but I seem to recall the year that I was on the jury, we had about 1,500 to 1,600 artists apply for those 220 spots.
Oh, that's amazing. Lynn, how do you go about actually deciding, what's your own decision-making process when it comes to deciding who's going to be there and who's not going to be there?
I have to say one of the best experiences I had was being a jury at Kansas City because mm-hmm. it was such fresh work. And for me, I liked a cohesive body of work, something that was exciting to me, but I wanted to see new thinking, new combinations. So the year that I was one of the jurors, I felt like we picked a really a lot of younger artists were exciting for me. Yeah.
I mean, do you ever feel guilty when someone you know doesn't make the cut because you're dealing so, you know, so directly with their own livelihoods here?
In some instances you do. It's supposed to be a thing where it's anonymous. So, you know, but we do know so many of each other on the road. But you never take it personally. It's a group of four, so... No, I don't think I do. I think the strongest work should be there.
I was going to say, Chris, not getting in, that's got to be hard news to hear.
It is, but I think particularly having been on sitting on the jury side of the process, you understand just how competitive it is and just how much great work there is. I mean, there's so many talented people, and there's just, frankly, not enough room for all of them. So I think anyone that's been doing it for any number of years, while it's disappointing, you understand and know not to take it personally.
You know, I'm also wondering, Chris, you know, why is the Midwest so good for art fairs? I mean, you would think, at least in theory, that the East and the West Coast, you know, a higher income, more educated audience might be sort of more fertile ground. But the pitch I always hear is it's not really the case that out here in the heartland is actually just a terrific place to be doing one of these art fairs.
Well, I think it certainly is. I mean, the strongest shows are definitely seem to be in the heartland. And I think part of it is the community support that comes around it. You know, the cities certainly get behind the event. It's a you know, while there's other things going on, this is the event of the weekend. So in a larger city, oftentimes you're competing against other events.
That's true.
I think also the geographic isolation that we have on the East Coast, if you don't make it to this show this weekend, maybe there's one just down the road.
20 miles away.
20 miles next weekend when the weather's a little better. So here people look forward to it all year, and they're going to come out rain or shine to see us.
Lynn, what's your sense of that?
I think that's exactly true.
Yeah.
There's something wonderful. They seem to be so excited. We're excited to be there. There's something about the weather, the fall. It just got crisp and exciting.
Yeah.
I remember this was the first sort of out-of-state show that I did. I'm from Florida. So it was a long way to come, sort of a big gamble, very exciting. And it was thrilling. And I remember thinking how beautiful everyone's shoes were here. And I have no
shoes, eh?
I know, so it was the strangest thing. And I still, for some reason, this has got the best shoes in the country.
Oh, that's funny.
I don't know how that translates, but yeah.
You know, we were hearing earlier, you know, about this idea of how friendly people are. They look you in the eye. They're educated about their art. Have you experienced that as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. I mean, you have thoughtful conversations and really good attention sort of with each other. And there's also this lovely dynamic that it's an evening show. A lot of shows don't have an evening component. So the lights twinkle.
The atmosphere changes, doesn't it?
Oh, it's lovely. And there's, I believe there's a cocktail, you know, there's some people walking around. It's sort of like
a lot of that going on.
Yeah. It's like date night, you know, and they're excited to be out. And it's just a heightened sense of pleasure, sort of.
You know, I always sort of wind up feeling, you know, a little guilty because you go in and you really like somebody's work and you're looking at it and you're asking how much it costs. And where do they take the photograph or what was the idea for the painting? And then you don't buy something. And I always sort of walk away feeling a little bit like, okay, I'm a schlub too, and I'm letting the artist down somehow. Should I feel that way or not?
No. The engagement is the most important thing. And if it goes beyond that, that's fantastic. It's kind of a numbers thing for us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get our percentage and it all works out fine.
Yeah, how about that? What do you say to that, too? Should I feel like a schlub for not buying something?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I think the artists that have decided to display their work in this way do it because they love the interaction with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
If it was simply about selling your artwork, there's a lot of different avenues to do that. So that interaction is the key component for all of us out there.
That's really interesting. Well, let me get our listeners involved here. Have you purchased something at an art fair? And tell us about your decision-making process. Did you go to the fair expecting to go home with some new art, or did you end up buying something because it spoke to you? And what's your favorite part about attending the Plaza Art Fair each year? 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address is up to date at kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. Let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our good conversation about the 82nd Annual Plaza Art Fair. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star, and you're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. If you missed our conversation yesterday with author Michael Chabon, you can find that and the weekend to-do list at kcur.org. Monday on the show, activist and lawyer Robert Kennedy Jr. joins us, and an environmental journalist will be here as well to talk about green policies and problems, including the Keystone XL pipeline. This hour, we're visiting with the Plaza about the Plaza Art Fair. If you want to join our conversation, we're interested in knowing what's your favorite part about the fair. Have you ever shown your work at a Plaza Art Fair or another major art fair for that matter? Tell us about the experience. 816-235-2888 is our phone number here. Our email address, up to date at kcur.org. You can also tweet us at KCUR up to date. We're visiting with Gail Terry. She's the marketing director for the Country Club Plaza. And two artists, Chris Dahlquist and Lynn Whipple, who will be showing their stuff this weekend at the art fair. Let's go to some phone calls again. 816-235-2888. Mark from Prairie Village. Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Mark.
In 2010, at the Brookside Art Fair, my wife, my now wife and I, met a young guy from Hannibal, Missouri that works, his name's Matthew, who works with unique metals to make rings and jewelry. And we looked at his works and we clicked. We had a great relationship with him. We had so much fun and saw him a couple of times over that weekend. We saw him out at the Plaza Arts Fair the following year and visited with him again. And the year after that, I called him a month before the art fair and said, all right, we've been joking around, the three of us, about when my wife and I are going to get married. How about if you help me propose? And he said that he was all for it. He made sure that he had some of his works in her very small ring size. And I met him down there when he was studying up on Friday afternoon 2 years ago and dropped off a card for my wife. And then she couldn't figure out why I was so insistent on us figuring out time to make it to the art fair. It wasn't working for us at all. And she was, she finally understood when we went up to his case that day, and he looked at her and said, hey, I think I have something for you, and handed her a card and the note that I had written her, and then pulled out the small tray of rings that were in her size, four or five styles that we could look at for the last two or three years. And it was phenomenal. It was great, and I love him to death, and I'm always disappointed when he doesn't make the show. And we always look forward to seeing him when he does make the show.
That's a pretty good story, Mark. If anybody out there can top it, I just dare him to do it. 816-235-2888. I'm sure glad you called, Mark. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve.
You bet. Chris Dahlquist, give us a sense of how many art fairs you go to each year as you travel the circuit around the Midwest here.
So despite the fact that the best shows are in the Midwest, we actually do travel coast to coast. Being a photographer, that's great time on the road for me to be shooting images. So we do about 12 a year, I think, that culminates in the Plaza. So this is my 12th of the season and my last for the year.
And you must enjoy it.
We love it. We love it.
And you do 12 a year. Why? Just that number feels right, or why 12?
Well, it fluctuates from year to year because of the jury process. So you're never exactly sure what you're going to get. That's a manageable number for us, and we've kind of lighted on the shows that we enjoy the most. And luckily, we have pretty great luck with the juries. So.
You know, economically, how important are these art fairs to what you do and how you make a living?
Well, I would say that not all of the transactions that I have happen at an art festival, but they all almost all of them originate with an art festival.
Kidding.
So
no kidding.
It might happen down the road, but that initial contact, that initial relationship was built by meeting someone at an art festival.
So in a sense, you're sort of on all weekend then, right? You're sort of got to bring your A game to these things because the contacts you make result in sales, if not right then, at some point down the road.
Correct. So ultimately, it means 30 to 36 days a year on making all of the contacts that then support me all year.
Mm-hmm.
I should say me and my husband. My husband works with me full time as well.
So come Sunday night, are you worn out?
I am. However, because this is the last of the year, in this case, this weekend is super special because we kind of feel like we are the host, it being in our hometown. And so Sunday night, all the artists gather at our house, actually, and we have kind of the last hurrah of the fall.
So this is the last art fair of the year for most people?
A lot of our gang, it's the last. There's maybe folks will do another local one. I know Lynn's got one more in Florida. But in terms of big national shows that we will all gather for, this is pretty much it.
The Plaza Art Fair is considered a big national show?
Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
In terms of the big shows around the country, where does this one rank in terms of size and sort of the size of the crowds?
Kind of right in the top.
I think
unequivocally at the top of the pack. Kind of it, St. Louis, and Denver. Those three are kind of the big three. Des Moines is in that as well, probably.
And I understand you have artists who are staying with you guys all weekend here, given how close you are and people sort of spend the weekend with you guys.
Yeah, sure.
How many do you have?
Last night we had six, and then that number grows on Sunday night. After the party, a lot of people just stay. I think last year on Sunday night, we had upwards of 20 in the house, 80 plus at the party, and more than 20 spending the night. So,
where is this party? Giving out any addresses?
I'm afraid not. Our neighbors are aware.
Yeah.
Good call.
You send the alerts out early on this one. Yeah.
Right.
Lynn Whipple, tell us about the Plaza Art Fair. How important is this art fair to you, and how important is the art fair circuit to the living that you make every year, too?
Very similar to Chris in that my husband, he is also an artist, a separate artist. He's a sculptor and a painter. So often we both have a booth, you know, next to each other, two separate bodies of work. But we do about 12 a year. It's about all we can muster. It's a lot of drive. You know, you go home, you rush, you make work, and you drag it across country, you set it up, you know, and it's a constant, you know, for us, it's just we're always creating work in between every show.
That's sort of the challenge here, right? You got to have enough work to bring the show to get you through a weekend, right?
Oh, it's nutty. We did a St. Louis, which was 2 weekends ago, drove all the way back to Florida and created, I think, a fantastic new body of work.
Yeah.
Exciting. You know, it's always exciting because we're always on the skinny branches and we're just, you know, rushing about and new ideas come and you're just going all the time.
I mean, do you have a sense, you know, Lynn, if you sold X number of pieces in Kansas City in 2010, do you know for sure you'll sell that many the next year and the year after? Or are the numbers bouncing around like yo-yos here?
It's a little like a yo-yo, let me tell you.
Really?
Yeah, because – and you know what you did last year, so you're kind of like, oh, yeah. And then, you know, the first day you're thinking – you may have a fantastic first day, and you're like, oh, I'm set. You know, you just never know. It's completely – you can't count it until the end of the show, and then you can say, okay, that was a great show, and also the end of the year. You just don't know where it's coming, but it always comes.
Well, why is that? I mean, what is it about human nature that makes that so unpredictable? Because most other retailers on the plaza, I bet, have a pretty good sense of where they're going from one year to the next.
I wish I knew.
Yeah, that's the secret, right?
Yeah. But you have to show up. And you may not see it right then at the show. You may be breaking down and this wonderful thing happens. You get your best gallery shows, your best museum contacts. you know, you end up teaching. I teach workshops as well. So all these other things happen, and you'll get this fantastic email 2 weeks later that just sets you up. You know, it's the perfect thing. So you just have to show up.
Yeah. At what point in the buying process can you tell if someone is okay, they're going to pull the trigger here or they're not? Or is that also completely unpredictable too?
Well, it's a fantastic psychological game to watch.
Yeah.
And, you know, that we have a lot of time to watch. So there is a thing that we call the huddle. Often a husband and wife, they'll sort of step back about 25 feet away. They get very close to each other. They put their arms and they have like a little whisper thing. And,
yeah, right.
You know, we're going, I think she's going to win. Oh, I think I'll put my money on him. So, you know, you and then there's the circle, you know, oh, we'll be back. And they circle and you see, oh, they're back, you know, but they're back. You know, so there is a whole, you know, a lot of things are fairly expensive and it's a big decision and they want to be on the same page. So, you know, and the most wonderful thing is then this couple's over there doing the huddle and there's another, you know, and then all of a sudden it all happens at the same time. And it just is like a frenzy and then people just, you know, you have three couples at this vying for the same. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, do you notice the same sort of dance going on at your place?
Yes, for sure. For sure. And it,
can you spot a buyer, you know, coming in? I mean, how soon do you zero in on the idea that, okay, this guy or this woman is serious about buying something here?
Well, there is some of the signs that Lynn's talking about, but sometimes, frankly, you don't know until the wallet's out of their pocket.
Yeah.
You know, it also depends on the price point that you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, there's a whole range of price points, and the process is very, very different according to where it is on that range.
Okay, big question. You know, can you negotiate the price of a piece of art? Is it rude to negotiate that price? I mean, what's sort of the, from your standpoint, Chris, what's the etiquette that goes on here?
I think each artist handles that a little bit differently.
How do you know as a buyer?
I do not negotiate at all. You know, there's
not at all.
I don't. I have a collector's discount if people are repeat buyers over the years. But that's always kind of at my initiative when I decide to do that. But a couple things go into it. You know, my pricing's not really subjective. You know, there's been a fair amount that's gone into deciding what that number is. And I don't feel like it's fair to the person that's just bought a piece. Because my work's photographic, they're all of similar size. They're all it's a tight body of work. And it also has to do with the agreements that I have with the galleries that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much my price is my price in the gallery, on the street, on my website.
Do most people who come in, do they assume that they can negotiate? Is that the assumption when it comes to art, or have you not experienced that?
I have not experienced that.
Yeah. Lynn?
I do experience that a little bit. I have often had the conversation about, well, if I buy two, and I will do a little wiggle, you know, I'll do a little wiggle. Sometimes it's
on
kind
two.
Of on two, and
on
I'll
one?
Say, yeah, it, you know, it's for me, it's a vibe thing. If there's a young college student, I can tell they're crazy about it. They're
okay.
An artist. I want them to have it, you know, so
right.
I work with it. I'm generally a little bit of a softy. My husband is a little more like Chris. He doesn't really wiggle too much. That's the
price. I mean, do you guys talk about this quite a bit amongst yourselves, the different artists, about how you approach these different situations? Because I think, again, if it differs from one artist to the other, I, as a consumer, I'm always wondering, well, can I shave $300 off this piece or not, you know?
I think it's always worth asking, and every artist will give you their.
So it's not rude to ask. As
no,
far as you're
I don't
concerned.
Think it is. I think it's perfectly fine to ask, and we have good answers like, oh, this is the number, and blah blah blah. Or, all right, well, what if we did, you know, more than one? Maybe we can work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the best trick you've come up with to lure people into the booth? Is there anything you can do to sort of, you know, actually get them in there?
gosh, if only I could put chocolate chip cookies like baking outside or something. Smell. What is the lure? I actually really spend a lot of time with my booth. I like the way it looks. It looks like kind of a gallery thing. It's an installation feeling, my particular style.
So you put a lot of time into that.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
I think people just assume you hang things up on the little walls there and that's it. But you're saying there's a lot of thought that goes into that.
There's a bigger concept. There's a drawing. There's a, you know, an idea behind it. I like, you know, things to layer well. I like to consider that booth as my own gallery space, and I give
it. No kidding.
You know, there's lighting, wall. We put up walls. It's like a little house, and there's like, you know, molding and painted and shelves in mine. Yeah, it's a lot.
A lot of thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear. How about you?
There's definitely a lot of thought that goes into the display, and some of that comes from watching people interact with your work. I mean, doing all of these shows, we've watched tens of hundreds of thousands of people interact with our work, which is one of the real thrills of being out there. But, you know, I would say about, you know, Lynn's lure of how she gets people into the booth is she makes really, really exceptionally great artwork.
Great artwork, yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line.
That's what it takes.
That's what it takes.
I mean, do you find yourself, and I'm just fascinated by this, the psychological aspect of this. Chris, do you find yourself really watching people approach your booth? Because if I was exhibiting something as personal as my own art, I'd really be watching them and where their eyes go and how they approach your booth. And I probably would wind up putting way more of my personal self into all this than probably it deserves to be. But do you get inured to that after a while, I imagine?
Yeah, I think so. Although I will say we're all kind of armchair sociologists or psychologists out there. I mean, if we didn't enjoy that aspect, I don't think we'd be on the street. And so it is fun to watch people interact with your work. But in terms of the thick skin that's developed, I think if you can't do that, then you don't really continue to do art fairs.
Yeah. And do you come across artists who simply can't handle it?
Yeah, that it's just not the right venue for their personality type. So for sure, there's people that it's that kind of interaction isn't necessarily positive for them.
That's interesting. Lynn, have you come across people like that too?
Yes, absolutely. And I have to say, just for myself, in the very, very beginning, my first few shows, it really is like, you know, just your skin is open.
Yeah, you're bleeding in front of
you're
the world,
like,
right?
Ah, yeah. Yeah, it's very exposed. Yeah, you feel very exposed. And then you quickly get a thick skin because you will find out of all these people that you have a percentage of people that just get it. And you have this fantastic conversation, and they understand, and your work finds its perfect home. And then right away you realize not every person that walks by is my person.
For someone like you, how do you know when someone gets it? What are you talking about?
Oh,
there?
Just right away. There's a funny spark. There's a conversation.
You can tell they're really connecting with what you've done.
Yeah,
you can see it.
They really take the time to look. They spend a moment. They get in. You know, they don't ask sort of the dopey question. Sometimes you do get some funny questions out there.
Well, I'd be one of those people probably.
Oh, no.
Yeah, why'd you do the green there? Yeah, you did the green there. Why not purple? That's, yeah, whatever.
So, but then we'd probably start laughing and talk about, you know, wow, the blue was empty. You know, so what?
I ran out of blue that day, so we're going with purple.
Yeah,
But I don't think people should be afraid of asking any question. I mean, because we've heard all of the questions. And I think most of us recognize that when people ask those questions, it's because they want an entrance into the work and they don't know where it is.
That's a great point.
And so a lot of times that's just the starting place of the conversation and they're not really sure where to begin. And so I think that people shouldn't be intimidated to ask anything in our booths.
With a photograph, it invariably is, oh, where did you take this, right? Mm-hmm. Where you want to be able to connect with the locations. Oh, I've been there before. And then you're off and running, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. 816-235-2888. We're talking about the Plaza Art Fair. Let's go to Ray from Raytown. Ray from Raytown. Good morning, Ray from Raytown.
Good morning. I almost claimed to be from Kansas City because I wouldn't have to hear Ray from Raytown. I just wanted to make a comment about the importance of taking children to art fairs like this. Obviously, you have to go in knowing that you're going to have to actively parent, especially if it's a young child. But I have a six-year-old daughter who's very artistic, and I find it very valuable to take her to something like this, especially when it's a free event, so that she can see the broad range of artistic expression that's out there and all the different ways that people find to communicate the vision and their and the way that they see the world around them, and even how they imagine other worlds around us. And especially with, you know, arts programs being cut in a lot of our public schools, I think things like this are a fabulous opportunity to show children the importance of art and how you can, if you want to work hard, make a living as an artist.
All right. Any thoughts there?
That's a great point.
We love Ray.
Absolutely.
Ray from Raytown.
I'm Gail from Raytown, so I'm glad you called. No, I love that. And that's one of the reasons that we try and have a lot of programming for kids and families, because we want it to be very welcoming. And we love the idea of people growing up with our show and learning and feeling very comfortable asking questions and enjoying art and not making it some big, scary thing. So that makes me really happy to hear you say that.
Thank you. And
my daughter has
art on her walls that we've bought at both the Plaza and the Westport Art Fair. So thank you very much for continuing to have this. I know it's a lot of work, but we appreciate it.
Thanks, Ray. You know, I'd be remiss not to have both Chris Dahlquist and Lynn Whipple describe your work. Describe your work. Give us a sense of what you do, Chris.
It begins as a photograph, but it's kind of barely recognizable as one in the end. It's a very minimal landscape printed on a gold-painted steel, primarily scenes of open prairie heartland.
Boy, sounds great. Lynn?
It's beautiful, I must say. My work is, I'm under mixed media, which is perfect for my brain. It's a combination of drawing, painting, collage, found objects, color, torn paper. You know, I have a lot, I like to play with a lot of different things, and then I put it together sort of a graphic, simple way that hopefully has a nice little pal to it.
Chris, tell us about Artists Inc.
Artists Inc. is a program here in Kansas City. That's the Kansas City Arts Council, or now Arts KC, Charlotte Street Foundation, and the Small Business and Technology Development Center. But it's professional development for creatives in Kansas City, not just visual artists, but musicians, writers, actors.
How can folks connect?
I believe it's arts. If they Google Artist Inc., it will be the first thing.
We'll get a link on our webpage, kcur.org, so people can figure that out. An email here, Gail from Beth. She wants to know, just lost my email from Beth here. She writes, might you consider starting shuffles from some outside regions as park and ride, especially since this is an urban experience? It might be nice to develop a public transit convenience and mindset to these types of events.
I think that's a good comment. We tried it a while back, and it was semi-successful. But I do think a lot of folks take the MAX down to the Plaza, which I think is a great idea. And we do have a lot of parking garages that are – sometimes there are spaces available. I know it's sometimes it's tight getting in, but there are thousands and thousands of spaces. So I love her idea, but I don't want people to be scared about the parking. It just takes a bit.
I want to thank Gail Terry, Marketing Director for the Country Club Plaza, and our two artists today, Chris Dahlquist and Lynn Whipple. Thank you so much for a great conversation. Really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Good time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
My pleasure.